we're back. This is the Taylor Report. That's Lead Belly. He's looking for the town bully. He's a great, great man. Joining us is Tony Leo, Unifor, Political Action Committee, I believe, of Local 2. Oh, boy, I can't. Is it? I got the numbers wrong. Tony Leo, Unifor, how are you doing?
Good. Local 222.
Yeah, I thought, if I get this wrong, everybody will laugh. So they laugh anyway. Okay. Tony, you must be like everybody else. The bully said he's going to do this, and he said the ship had sailed. You heard him, you know.
Yes.
The union could just forget it because, they had their chance. And something has happened. Tell us a little bit of what you know and how you react.
Sure. I think that it's exciting to everybody in the labor movement that when workers start standing up to the bully and demonstrating the real potential power they have, it's amazing what happens. And Doug Ford thought that he could bully the education workers, 55,000 of them, that he could impose a contract on them. But when they stood up to that, when they went on strike, regardless of the legislation that threatened to fine individual workers $4,000 a day.
Yes.
It was incredible the amount of support they generated from other workers, from other unions, from ordinary people, from the parents of kids who support the educational workers. And it really showed that Doug Ford had grabbed onto the tail of a tiger that he didn't expect.
And indeed, Tony, I don't know if you saw it, but I was reading Doug Ford's tweet, because all great leaders tweet, and he said, well, he's doing this because he's concerned about the families and the taxpayers and students, and then he said, and workers. Actually, if he just said workers, that would have been would have done that. Although workers pay taxes, last I heard, a lot of them have families.
Yeah.
It shows, I thought he kind of dumped his playbook on the table by saying that, because that is a, frankly, conservative game, always to say, hey, listen, I'm standing up for the taxpayer. fiscal responsibility. But let's talk about this, class consciousness. We just been through, and they try to use it to leverage their side of this. We've been through this COVID business, and then we're in a shaky economy and a quasi-war situation, which has got everybody, trade and everything else is being damaged. And decisions are being made that hurt working people, and there's class consciousness out there. When he says, here you have... how many people? 50,000 and lowest paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
He makes it easy for people who work for a living to identify immediately with those people.
Yes, I think that's the remarkable lesson of this is that people have been hungering for somebody to stand up and fight. And when they do, they're more than willing to rally around behind them and show support. There's been picket lines and demonstrations across the province, and almost unanimous support from the public.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really does demonstrate that fact when you say class consciousness. The working class is the vast majority of the population.
Wage earners.
They have common interests.
Who are really feeling it. They can't afford the fuel. They can't afford the rent. They can't afford the food.
Right.
And then he says, it's gone up. Yeah, cost of living gone up 10%. I'm going to give you, what percent was he offering?
This is the real insult of his pretense of caring about workers. Inflation has been running, as you say, up to 10% a year. And the bill that the Conservative government passed would impose a contract for 4 years on these very low-paid workers. For some of them, 2.5% a year, which is a pay cut, but for the majority of them, 1.5% 5% a year. I mean, this is an insult. This is a disgrace to tell workers. The average worker in this bargaining group, 55,000 education workers, makes $39,000 a year. And the majority of them, we're going to, under this imposed contract, we're only going to get increases of 1.5% a year. So for many workers, that would be like 39 cents an hour.
Hmm.
It's just disgraceful and very dishonest. The 2.5% figure is a shell game. The government said it was for the lowest paid workers, those making under $43,000 a year. But what they didn't say is that workers who are on a pay grid, and most workers for school boards are on a pay grid. In other words, it takes them many years to get to the top rate.
Hmm.
But if the top rate was $43,000 a year, then they wouldn't get the 1.5%. So the union published, you know, a bunch of examples. Here's an example. An early childhood educator earns $27.74 an hour. That's just below the cutoff. They work 30 hours a week for 43 weeks. So their annual salary is $35,785. They would only get the 1.5% increase, or 42 cents an hour. Here's another example. A caretaker in a school board at the top rate gets $27.05 an hour, but they start at $23.02 an hour. It takes them many years to get up to the top rate.
Hmm.
But because that top rate is there, they would only get 1.5% under this imposed contract, or, you know, like 39 cents an hour.
Hmm.
You can't say when workers are hurting by 7, 8, 10% inflation a year, that you're going to give them 1.5% a year for 4 years and fine them if they object. That's imposing a drastic pay cut. That's not benefiting any workers.
And my God, what they were threatening, the kind of financial punishment they were going to, it was like not only taking the food away, it's kicking them out the door.
People who are
I would put it this way, it was sadistic, the thinking behind that.
Cruel, yeah. $39,000 a year the average education worker earns. 70% of them are women. Over 50% of them have additional jobs to try and make ends meet. But if they were violating this law that's imposed on them, they would be fined $4,000 a day.
A day.
And the law,
what a wonderful, warm-hearted person, just a regular guy, entrepreneur.
Every additional day counts as a new offense.
Yeah, Phil Conlon is here, and he wants to jump in.
Yeah, and I think people should remember that this contract negotiation was after they were coming off a three-year period under Bill 124, where they had been constrained to a 1% maximum increase a year for 3 years. So they get one, one, and one, and everybody who's under Bill 124 are thinking, I'm going to get out of it now, I'm going to do some makeup, and this was the makeup, you know.
Yeah. 111, yes. Dial 111.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
that's the voice of Phil Conlon, also a trade unionist, by the way. And we're speaking to Tony Lee of Unifor. Tony, a specter rose up. I guess, by the way, we have transport workers started to go. I think somebody noticed there was a multiplier going on here, some kind of dynamic. But the specter of that thing called the general strike was clearly in the offing, don't you think?
Specter is haunting Dave Ford, Doug Ford. I think that the transit workers, members of the Amalgamated Transit Union at Go Transit, were striking, or at Metrolinx, striking as of today. Other workers bargaining, and everybody coming together and talking about
Queen's Park was getting crowded.
Yeah, they're talking about the real prospect of workers' solidarity in a general strike against the Ontario government. And that's clearly what led to Doug Ford trying to find a way out of the mess that he had gotten himself into.
Yeah.
But it shows the potential power, and this is something that we should learn and remember. We shouldn't say,
yes,
go back to sleep after this is over, and this is not over yet, by the way.
Not at all. I want to ask you that quickly, because as a last point on that matter, we want to keep our eye on the prize, right? I mean, Phil just said 1-1-1, and I mean, like nothing. The QP and the education workers here have showed their strength, and they've got sort of a new playing field. But at the end of the day, this is going to come down to, are they going to win a decent wage with some future, potential to get beyond just scraping by? So we need to understand they maintain now the right to strike. All they have to do is bargain in good faith, and Ford, who shows he's not so, Mr. Leckie and him, and not so much in the good faith department. Mm-hmm. This could be a labor battle, and there's going to be an argument about who's Mr. Nice Guy, who's not. But those workers have got to get out of this situation of being under the thumb of Ford and Leckie.
Yes, and workers deserve a decent standard of living. And that's what the education workers are fighting for, and why people rallied around them. And they're going to continue to bargain for that. And the rest of the labor movement, I like the quote from the recently elected president of OPSU, J.P. Hornick. And she said, "We're not standing down, we're standing by."
That's good. Could you say that again?
We are not standing down, we are standing by.
And that is who?
J.P. Hornick, the president of OPSU.
Very good. Well, that's a good note to end on. Tony Leah, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Phil.
This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm often asked why we have Tony Leah on, and that's, you just found out why. It's full of information, particularly on the labor front. We're going to talk to another gentleman.